This study on the book of Philippians is offered for the edification of all students of God's Word by spiritandtruth.org. Pastor Paul Hennebury of Agape Bible Church will be our teacher. It is our prayer that our time together will deepen your understanding of the Bible and allow you to draw closer in your relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's begin our time of study with Dr. Hennebury.
The word is from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, as we come to consider this great passage of Scripture, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to its truth. Help us, Father, to understand that you mean what you say, and that, Lord, in this time of anxiety and of fear, when life sometimes seems to be unhinged, and there are so many unasked questions about the future, we know, Father, that you see us and that you are near us, that you want us to rely on you, you want us to trust you, you want us, Heavenly Father, to give all of our worries over to you because you care for us. Help us, Lord, to understand this better. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, this passage in Philippians chapter 4 is one that comes on the back of Paul having to deal with what seems to be, anyway, a little bit of kerfuffle in the church. In verse 2, it says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And then he urges others to help them to do that. And, you know, there are sometimes things that get under the saddle and do bother us sometimes. There are sometimes personality squabbles and things that upset us in churches. But at the end of the day, there ought to be peace. There ought to be peace among God's children. Doesn't mean there needs to be absolute agreement upon everything. Of course there doesn't. You know, I mean, you can be right about something and I could be wrong about something. It doesn't mean that I have to fall out with you, does it? And it doesn't mean that I can't sit in the same building as you. And there are bigger things than our disagreements sometimes. But also, as well as disagreements, as well as things that need to be resolved in churches because we're sinners and because, we have our problems, there are the things that press upon us in life, things that worry us, things that make us anxious, things that loom before us, and they seem sometimes to be insurmountable. They seem to be huge walls that are risen in front of us that we wonder how we're going to get over or how we're going to get round. We don't see any way through. Maybe it's a financial issue. Often it's a financial issue, isn't it? How are we going to pay that bill? How are we going to deal with this that's coming up? Sometimes it's a health issue. You know, what about the future in view of what has happened to me or in view of what's happened to a loved one? Employment. Things that just cause us to be a little off-center. And we just don't feel balanced and we don't feel completely stable. And of course, it can also be wider things, can't it? It can be things like the state of the nation, and our nation's in a state. Although, you know, a Christian must understand, like at the end of chapter 3, tells us, a Christian has got to understand that they are first and foremost not a citizen of this nation or any other nation. They are a citizen of heaven. If you don't believe me, look at the end there of chapter 3. Paul makes that appeal. And you say, well, yeah, but I feel certainly very strongly allied to this country. And that's great. That's good. I hope that you do. I don't think you feel as strongly allied as the Philippian citizens did to Rome. Because Philippi was very proud of being a Roman colony. And the people there, many of them were old soldiers, old Roman soldiers that had retired there and had been given land and given rights there in that place. They felt a very strong allegiance to Rome. They were Roman citizens by right. And they were extremely loyal to Rome. They were very proud of the fact that they had temples to the Caesars, they had temples to the Roman gods, and rather than the hoi polloi in the towns and cities around, the Philippians were true Romans. That was the citizenship that they were proud of. That was the authority, the Lord, that they looked up to and they were loyal to. So imagine being a Christian in a city like Philippi. It wasn't easy. So, certainly, there were anxieties. There always have been anxieties. If you're a Christian in a place like Philippi, in the ancient world, and you do not own that Caesar is Lord, then you don't get to be in any of the guilds. You don't get to be in any of the places that would give you employment and that would give you a hand in the world. You basically are on your own, you and the other Christians. It's a difficult life. It's not easy. So they understood very much of what it meant to be a citizen of heaven. They understood what it was to be a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. I wonder if we do. Sometimes we put down roots in this life, don't we? You know, we put our trust in all kinds of things that are in the world. Our bank accounts, our houses, our health policies, our retirement, our present circumstances, whatever that might be. And God doesn't want us to put our faith in any of those things. God wants us to put our faith in Him. For those of you that have studied with me any, you know that one of the reoccurring themes in my teaching is that since the fall, we have a tendency to be independent. And that is also something that happens or stays with us when we are believers in Jesus. We want still to be independent of God. So you and I, even as Christians, we want to be independent of God. And we want to call upon God when we're ready to call upon Him, when we think we need His help. But we want to be independent. That's why we find faith so hard. That's why we find doing our own thing so easy. Here's the problem, though. When we do our own things, when we rely upon ourselves or rely upon things that are in the world, things that we see or things that we think are permanent in this world, and we don't rely upon God, then anxiety and worry has a door into our lives, into our very cause. And we wonder sometimes why we are fearing. It's because we are not focused on things in heaven, but things rather upon the earth. Now, look at this passage with me. That's my introduction. Sorry, it's only going to be a two-hour message. Don't worry. All right. Look at verse 4. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, just in case you didn't get it, again I will say, rejoice. If you are worried, if you are anxious, you do not feel like rejoicing. You do not feel a great sense of joy and elation. Now, when I say joy, when the Bible says joy, it doesn't mean, you know, just this airheaded view of just feeling that everything's fine when things aren't, you know. It's deeper than that. It's more significant than that. It's that even in adverse circumstances, you still know that you are a child of God. You still know where you're headed. You still know that God walks with you. You still understand that you are forgiven and that one day you will see Christ, your Savior, and you will see His kingdom, and you are a citizen of that kingdom. All of these things give you hope. All of these things anchor you to the reality that is in front of you. That is the core, that is the center of your rejoicing, and the fact that God loves you, the fact that God cares for you and wants to communicate with you. These things should give you joy. So Paul says to these Philippians, look, in Philippi, where you feel odd, where you don't belong because, you know, you don't go to the festivals and you don't go to the different carnivals that they have and you don't worship at the shrines that they have all over Philippi. You who are viewed as being odd in the world, rejoice because you've picked the right side. You have the right citizenship. You are on the right road. And so rejoice always, because as we move towards that place of light and peace and joy and glory, yes, we're going to encounter difficulties. We're going to encounter troubles, but we are never going to be off that road. We're moving in the right direction. And so rejoice. Rejoice, learn to rejoice in troubles. I'm going to address how that is possible in just a minute. Well, half an hour. No, I'm kidding. Honestly, I've got to go. Then he says this. He says, let your gentleness or your mildness of character be known. Let it be apparent to all men. Christians ought to be gentle people. That doesn't mean they're to be pushovers, okay? Jesus was not a pushover, but he was very gentle. Look at the way Jesus dealt with those that had come across hard times, or those that like the woman taking an adultery, you know, those that had committed sin, and yet were being, in a sense, abused because of the hypocrisy of the religious leaders there. He was gentle towards them. And God is gentle. God wants to not be heavy-handed, but to deal with people as somewhat frail, as people that are vulnerable, as some people who are weak, even sometimes unbeknownst to themselves. He wants to be gentle with them. He wants to listen. He wants to know them. He wants to be able to deal with them with respect and with understanding. That ought to rub off on us. Sometimes it doesn't, does it? Sometimes Christians are not as gentle and as temperate as they ought to be. I wonder if there is anyone here who Maybe there are people that in your life and around your life who feel that they can't really talk to you, or they can't really express themselves to you or spend time with you because you're just too, you know, don't seem to be very interested, or you're too gruff. Maybe you just talk when you ought to be listening to them. A Christian ought to be gentle. And that joy that comes from knowing that you are a child of God will impact whether you're a gentle individual or not. And there's another reason given for this. The Lord is at hand. This means, or can mean, two different things. And I think the ambiguity is deliberate from the apostle here. Of course, it can mean that the Lord Jesus is going to come back. And as far as Paul is concerned, he could come back at any time. And that is a scriptural doctrine. That is a New Testament doctrine. It's called the imminency of the return of Christ. Jesus can come back at any time. And so Paul didn't know when it was. And so he was quite right here, and we're quite justified still, to say that the Lord is at hand. He could come back at any moment. So there's that. But also there's this other meaning, and that is that the Lord is here. The Lord is close. The Lord is not off on a vacation somewhere, paying no attention to you and your troubles and your life. The Lord is close by. In fact, from other passages of Scripture, we can say how close he is. He's not just at our shoulder. He's not just at our right ear. He is, in fact, in us. Because the Holy Spirit has been given to all those who have trusted in Jesus as their Savior. He is not just over there, but he's in here. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as a deposit, a down payment of our future glory. And therefore, when we feel that God isn't listening, we need to tell ourselves immediately that that isn't possible. Of course he hears us. Of course he's with us. But you see, our independence, our sense of independence has told us that he's not there. Our habit of doing things our own way, of thinking things our own way, has removed the reality of the nearness of God from our thoughts. And so we think God's not close. We think God can't hear. Sometimes we might feel that we can't feel God, as if feeling is the all-important thing in Christian faith. You know what? The Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight, and it should also say, it says it in kind of other words, that we walk by faith, not by feelings. Okay? Whether we feel God is present or not, he has told us that he is. And that's enough, isn't it? And if we will trust in that, if we will believe that he means what he says, and he tells us that the Holy Spirit is with us, then, again, we'll understand the Lord is at hand. The Lord is with us. The Lord is close. And therefore, joy and gentleness, these things ought to characterize a person who knows that the Lord is right here. Now, from that starting point, he can go on to deal with anxiety. He can go on and deal with worry. And as I've said, anxiety can come in all kinds of different guises, all kinds of ways. It can even come to us and we don't even know why we're anxious. Is anyone like that here? You know, you just have this sense of worry, this sense of fear. You know, there are certain people who are just worriers. You know, they're worry warts. They're worrying about anything, you know, even silly things. And they know it's silly when they're worrying about it. There are those that think maybe deeply about the times, and they wonder where America's going. And there are reasons, we don't hide our head in the sand. There are reasons to be concerned, in one sense, about the future of the Western world. We're definitely at that time in the Western world when things are being thrown away, things that the Western world is built on and made the Western world, and we're turning over to values, or lack of values, that are very destructive. And if that they are not changed, they will bring about all kinds of trouble in the future from, just all kinds of different things. You just look at from education to political correctness to the problem with unwanted pregnancies and STDs and just anywhere. These things are not good. Even in issues like the transgender stuff that's coming up and being pushed nowadays, you need to understand, folks. All right, scientifically, just factually, that somebody who adopts that lifestyle, that understanding, you understand that there is a 40% suicide rate of people in that lifestyle. That's not smart. That's not a good decision. That's not something that society should get behind, because it's destructive, as well as being foolish. So that's what we have to deal with. And we can get rather confused, and we can get anxious about these things. And the Word of God tells us, whether it's personal issues or whether it's the climate of the culture, be anxious for nothing. For what? For nothing. Now, there are things that we feel that I can give this over to God. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to give that over to God. But then there's this great big thing here. This elephant in the room that I can't ignore. And God says, he doesn't say ignore it, but he says, don't be anxious about it. He says, I'm much bigger than the elephant. You see? He says, I'm much bigger than that trouble. Now here's me, okay? This is what I'm like, I'm gonna tell you. Maybe you're like this too. So, I gotta confess this too. I'm like it every time this issue comes along. So I've had this issue before, some problem, often it's financial, that you wonder, how am I gonna get through this? How am I gonna get over it? How am I gonna deal with this, yes? And then you figure out, you think, well, God can do it this way, this way, this way, or this way, all right? And none of them looks promising. But I can't see any other way that he's going to deal with it. And so you start worrying, because you think you've got a reason to worry, because you've figured it out for God, and it doesn't look promising, does it? You can't see how he's going to deal with it. Okay? But here's the thing. God is not interested in my opinion about it. God doesn't need me to advise him what his options are. I just think that way. But God doesn't think that way, because there are a million more options that he's got that I have not being concerned about. What I do when I think like that is I try and reduce God down to my level so that his options are like my options. Okay? I make him, what I do is I kind of make him a kind of Gandalf. So he's human, But you know, he's got more power than I can, and maybe he can sort some things out, wave his magic wand or something, and blast through something where I can't find a way through. But God is not like that. To God, that huge mountain that's in front of me, that huge problem, that thing that looms over me, that's absolutely nothing. And if it's nothing to him, he tells us it ought to be nothing to us. Because he's on our side. Because he's our God. Because he has told us, don't worry about it. Well, don't worry about it because it doesn't help worrying? No, not just that. I mean, that's true too. Jesus said that. But don't worry about it because he's got it. You say, where does it say that? Right here it does. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. You see the there? Nothing, everything. In everything, by prayer, that's just your normal, you know, speaking to God, and supplication, that's what you're asking for. With thanksgiving, I'll get back to that. Let your requests be made known to God. He wants you to bring that issue to him. He wants you to bring every issue to him. He wants you to be a person of prayer, a person who communicates with him. He wants you to be a person of faith. He wants me to be a person of faith too. In other words, he wants you, he wants me to depend on him. What do I say that our default is? Independence. Independence. We want to be independent. We don't want to depend on God. Faith is what makes us depend on God. Faith is not belief in something that's impossible. Faith is the thing that makes us depend upon God. And when we have faith in God, then we understand that what we were concerned about, what we were worried about, isn't an issue of concern. Do you see that?
Yep.
Isn't it funny? You've all experienced this, okay? When you actually stop worrying about stuff and you bring it to God, all of a sudden, what seems to be a great big pile of spaghetti gets sorted out. And the mess and the confusion seems to be a lot less confused, a lot less problematical. You get, as it were, God's perspective on it instead of your own little perspective on it. That's what happens when you depend on God. That's what happens when you lean on him. That's the idea of faith. But he says that you have faith in him, you let God know what the problem is, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Do you see that? In Romans chapter 1, one of the great indictments against the human race is that they did not glorify God as God, neither were they thankful. Are you thankful for what God has done in your lives? There's an old Puritan, John Flavel, wrote a great book called The Mystery of Providence. You should read that one day. And he said that God cannot be thanked for providences that have been forgotten. God has done, you know, if you're a believer, God has done tremendous things in answer to prayer for you, or just by his kindness, he has done those things in your life. And you've forgotten about them. You'd thanked him a while back, but now, you know, you're going to have to get the Rolodex out and try and figure out, you know, what it was that he did back when. Because you've forgotten all about it. Folks, you're supposed to call upon those deliverances of God in times of difficulty, in times of trouble. And you link them together with those scriptures which say things like, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. And you say, yes, that's true, that's right. He's done it, he's proved himself to me. I know that that's true. Thanksgiving to God is the thing that recalls the experiences of God's faithfulness to the present. And underlines for us the truth of the Word of God. Not that the Word of God needs any extra authority, but we do. We need, don't we? We need all of the encouragement and all of the help that we can get. And God wants to be thanked. If you're unthankful, if you haven't got gratitude towards God in your hearts as a Christian, search your hearts. I can tell you one thing about you. Okay? You're way off doing your own thing. Okay? I mean, you are off in your own autonomy, in your own independence. You are not trusting God at all. When you come close to God and when you come to him to depend upon him, you will find that thanksgiving is easy. So make sure that whenever you pray to God, whenever you ask God for things, that you give thanks to him too. In fact, this, the Greek here, I'm going to go all Greek on you here for a second. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. In the Greek, it basically says, about anything, do not be anxious. In other words, the emphasis in the original Greek is that, again, punching home to us, about anything. Anything that you can think of, and you can think of lots of things if you're a warrior, anything that comes up, okay, you can give to God, and God says, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. So think, I mean, while I'm talking here, you start thinking about things that might be exceptions to that rule. There aren't any. There aren't any, I'm telling you. God wants to know what's concerning you, and he wants you to bring that to him and leave it there. And stop worrying about it. And trust him that he's God. You know, we think that saying a lot of blandishments to God and saying a lot of platitudes to God about you're glorious, you're great, you're wonderful, and so on, that's the thing that glorifies God. Something that glorifies God a whole lot more is when we actually treat him as God. Do you understand? We actually trust in him. We believe what he says. So, something happens when we do that. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. It's not something you can figure out. It's not something you can analyze, because it isn't something that is manufactured by you. It isn't something that's found in this world. It's not something that's a product of this world. The peace of God is the serenity in which God himself dwells. Of course it passes all understanding. Of course it's not something that we should try to figure out. That peace will come to us if we rest in God and his goodness. In fact, it will guard, it will keep both our hearts and our minds. Do you see that? Now, Paul didn't have to say that because, again, in the Greek language, cardia, the word for heart is also the word for mind, usually. There are other words for mind, too. But it can mean your thinking, or it can mean your whole person, your personality. Okay, it means more than what Hollywood says it means. But your hearts, including your emotional life, and your minds, your thinking, your overthinking things. Yes, the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, through he who died for you, through he who rose for you, he who is your king, who is your brother. And so there is this promise that in trusting God, and God tells me, stop being anxious and stop worrying, Paul, about this or that. There is this expectation that if I really do that, then I will experience the peace of God in my life. Now, this is not some kind of a weird or a strange kind of spiritual gift or anything like that. This is simply the tranquility that comes from God when we let him be God in our lives. When we say to him, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't want to keep thinking about this. This thing is overpowering me. Lord, you have it. It's your problem. Honestly. I mean, you've got to be like that, haven't you? Yeah, you've got to give it to him and say, this is your problem, Lord. You want this to be your problem. You deal with this. You worry about this. I'm not going to worry about it. And then you've given it over to somebody who doesn't have anxiety about anything. Because there's nothing that thwarts him. There's nothing that bamboozles him. There's no problem that he can't fix. What seems to us to be insurmountable is to him nothing at all. And so the peace of God will come to us. It will keep our hearts. It will keep our minds. It comes, folks, by yielding to God. Okay? Yielding to God. We don't want to do that. Do we? We don't want to put ourselves on the altar every day. When we're feeling spiritual, then we'll put ourselves on the altar and become a living sacrifice for God. But maybe there's another day that we're not feeling so spiritual, so we're not going to do that. We're not going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds today. Okay? Maybe yesterday we felt like it. Today we don't feel like it, so we're not. Look, folks, you need to understand, that's the way that we operate. And it's not good enough. It's not glorifying to God. It is not living by faith. Living by faith is making sure that we rely on, we trust on God, we yield to God. We walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And so, this passage says to us, replace your worries with peace. How? Manufacture peace from your own, inner self? Imagine your problems aren't there? No, none of that stuff. But go to the Almighty God, who is your Father. And as your Father, he is concerned for you. He's concerned that you're facing this issue, this problem. And he says to you, bring it to me, leave it with me, and go away and live your life. Do what you can do, but what you can't do, do not worry about. You Is he telling the truth? Does he mean what he says? That's our decision, isn't it? And it comes down to, are we going to take this? Here's an empirical verse, an empirical test for the reality of the Christian faith. We can decide to trust God, and he is eminently trustworthy. Or we can keep back some of the worry, some of the control to ourselves, and see where that gets us. Let's give things over to God, shall we? Let our anxiety be replaced by God's peace. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would help all of us, because we all have this tendency, Lord, to be concerned about things that inevitably come and face us, and attack our peace and upset us and overturn our little apple carts. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we'd be ready for that, because we understand this tendency we have not to trust you until dire circumstances approach. I pray, Lord, you forgive us for the times where we do not treat you as God. And I pray, gracious Father, that for any here that are facing worry or circumstances or anxieties, maybe they've not told anybody about, but you know about them, I pray that they would follow this verse. This passage is for them. And that they would cast all their care upon you. All of it. And go away worrying about nothing. And allowing the peace of God to come into their hearts and minds. A few verses on from this, Paul calls you the God of peace. And so you have more than enough peace to share with your people. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you that we can bring all of our trials and all of our struggles to you, and you will answer. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Paul Hinneberry. Join us each Wednesday night at 7 o'clock as we go through the Old Testament, and each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock as we go through the New, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Calvary Chapel is located at 140 North Spring Street in Ukiah. Please join us.